Hello, my name is Mireya Loza. I'm here today in Estrella Community College in Arizona with Juanita Parra. I'm here today with Juanita Parra. We're going to begin talking about her relationship with braceros in childhood. Another thing I forgot. It is January 11th, 2008.
I was born in Mercedes, Texas, May 12, 1955. My mother was at that point in time involved in the migration between the U.S. and Mexico when a lot of the braceros, a lot of the people who were hired from across the border to work in agriculture. So she and seven other children, especially the oldest children, were involved in the harvests across the border in Texas. And eventually, my mother was constantly thrown back into the Mexico because she didn't have a husband at that time. Well, she did, but she left him for abuse. But the children that she had helped her pick and raise money and funds in order to help with the funds that she had to begin the process to become permanent residents. At that time, my father was living in Mexico, and my mother's youngest sister, who was Esperanza de Alejandro, was married to his brother, who was Pedro de Alejandro. Pedro de Alejandro was an avid businessman in Mexico. He owned a store, movie theater and so on, so he had some business background. Both my father and him were very close, and my father had other siblings also in Mexico. Mother had to approach my father and say, "Will you marry me? I have to get papers, and I can't because the U.S. won't let me get papers unless I'm married." So my father agreed. They went. They continued to go back and forth from Texas to Mexico, eventually till the paperwork was done. But during that whole time, my father and mother were involved in agriculture. And I know that at that time, my father must have been involved in the bracero program because I'm sure he was working with her in the agriculture. So were my other cousins, which is their parents. So it was my mother's youngest sister, Sixta, and her husband Jesus Torres, and my uncle, which is Pedro de Alejandro, and my aunt Esperanza, and my mother and my father Cayetano de Alejandro. My mother is Felipa Martinez de Alejandro. So, because they were such close, they traveled together as a family, and wherever the harvest was or wherever the braceros were taken, we were migrating with the harvest. So we ended up in, according to my mom, we were in Wyoming, we were in Oregon, we were in Washington, we were in Idaho, we were in Montana, and we were in California, all over California. And according to my older siblings, we passed through Arizona, where my mom enjoyed the climate here. But she also saw that there was a lot of agriculture here, very similar to areas in where they worked. We managed, or mom managed with the older siblings to garner enough funds to, because they also worked. My older siblings worked outside of the state also to garner wages involved with the braceros because they were working in the agriculture too. And these are, my oldest brother, Carlos Torres, my another brother named Marcelino Torres, and my sister, Velia, at that time, Torres. They worked in agriculture because I'm sure everywhere where the braceros they were, they were. And the money they saved, they managed all together to gain enough money to buy a home here in Glendale. When they lived in Glendale, they also continued working in the agriculture. There was the Tanitas Farms. Here in Avondale, there was the Greer Farms. But in the Tanitas farms, all the Tanitas brothers spoke Spanish, and they spoke Spanish to the braceros. Now, I remember the empaques, where they packaged the agriculture. I mean, to this day, I can tell you I've eaten any kind of agricultural organic food, and to this day, I still like a lot of vegetables. But there's nothing like a ripe tomato off the field. There's nothing like a peeled broccoli. Mother fed us everything that we worked in. We took home everything we worked in. We ate that. We fed ourselves with that. When we saw the braceros, basically a lot of the braceros were transported either in some kind of truck or bus or whatever the case, bus, because I remember seeing them in trucks. They were fed by the rancher or whoever. That's how my tío, Pedro de Alejandro and Esperanza de Alejandro, became the people that were feeding the braceros, because my tío's background, again, in business, he knew more or less how to how to work that. And my aunt became the cook, but he also was cooking. And I don't remember my mother helping my tía, but I remember my father always taking us to the campo, where there were several campos, where there was homes for the braceros, as well as a cafeteria kind of unit. And my tía Esperanza and my tío were cooking the food and giving the food, and my tía was making the big San Lorenzo tortillas. And my tía, just like my mom, great cook. My cousins were all there all the time, because, well, where else were they going to leave their children? So the children were playing around everywhere. So we grew up together. I remember the braceros would come in during the lunch hour and dinner time. And by the time the breakfast was over, we were there most in the afternoon, because it was after school. So the braceros were fed in the morning, noontime, and the evening. And I remember smelling the food. Mm-hmm. And I remember the braceros coming in after a job or day's work, and they would come in for lunch, and they were sat in many, many. I could see their faces, and I could tell that they were poor. I could tell that they were lonely, because very quiet men, but they also were very dedicated, because they wanted to earn some funds. And I remember they would feed them very well. And we even got fed as part of the food. Okay, we got fed. And then they would return back to work. Then they would come back for dinner, and they would be fed again. And then they were retrieved to their little homes that they had in the campos. And the reason I remember that also is because Mom says I was born in a campo. In Mercedes, Texas, she said there were braceros, but there were also families. You can just take the bracero and not leave the family behind. Most of the families traveled with the braceros. And I was born in a campo. And to this day, I still remember the little white homes. They all were the same. My tías, too, and their kids. Now, we're a large family, a very big family. And I remember many stories of what happened during that time. And I remember that my grandmother was even there when I was born in Mercedes. She died not too long, or I think 2 years after that. Anyway, when my mom was, and my father was in love and involved with the bracero program, because even though he lived in Glendale, he still worked with the braceros, because the more men that they needed for the agriculture, they would even bring in the ones that lived within the community. And I know there was braceros living in San Orita at the time, because there was the railroad, and there's also the Empaque del Hielo, the ice company that was in that corner, that eventually, if you look in the historical aspect, it burned down. But the braceros also were housed in San Orita. It's a little area in which they were given a place to stay. And to this day, it's still called Sonorita, because it was Sonorita right south of the railroad track. Anyway, I remember being in the empaque from sometimes when there was, I remember as a very, very, very young child, I must have been maybe 3, 4, maybe. I remember being left in the car and sleeping while my mom also was involved in working in the empaque with my dad. Donde empacaban el coliflor y el broccoli y todo eso, ¿verdad? And I could hear the machines in the background. In the background, I could still hear the ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And then at the same time, I could see the tractors and so on. I could also, to this day, can tell you the smells that of the chemicals and the stuff that they used to burn the weeds and things like that. And
what did it smell like?
It's, to this day, I can pass by something and I'll tell my husband, oof, they're spraying or they're burning the weeds or whatever. I can smell it. And I guess I suffer some sinuses from all that stuff that we were, you know, accustomed to smelling, but they were chemicals. But I remember the braceros, just like my sisters, too. I have pictures of them where they were wearing, they wore the long sleeve shirts. They wore the hats, the big hats to cover themselves from the sun, and the long sleeve shirts. And the women wore the bonnets and also pañolas so that they would protect their face from the sun and so on. I remember they were also very physically tired, the braceros, as well as my siblings and my parents, because you could see the physical aspect of the fatigue. The morning day started about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I remember that because I was always wrapped up in a blanket and thrown in my vehicle, my parents' vehicle, and I would wake up in the mornings to see the sun coming up over the doorway in the vehicle. I remember spending most of my time in the files with my parents and the braceros because we slept under the vehicles away from the sun, and we ate from the ground. My mother used to bake papas, mm-hmm. And she showed us how. She says, dig a hole, put the papas in there, throw them dirt over, and then put the hot ashes on top, and you'd have baked potatoes. And to this day, I know that. Food cans were thrown in the ashes, in the brasas. My mom used to get ashes and actually brush her teeth with the ashes of the, yeah, she would. And she was always supportive of the family because most of the time my dad was either working in the files or at times he would take us over the summer to work in Morgan Hill or the family to work in Morgan Hill, California or anywhere in California. I actually remember being in Paris, California, a little town in Paris, California, piscando la papa, you know, picking the potato. And there was lots and lots of families, Native American as well as Black as well as Hispanic. And we were alone. It was my dad and my sister and I, two of us.
And was there a lot of braceros in the field?
Lots, even families.
They were mixed, the families?
Mixed. There was braceros and then there was families. And I think they would, I know that the braceros were kind of in a group, but they would also allow the families to work. The families especially to work because they had lots of kids. Mm-hmm. And they would allow the kids to work. So we were working in Paris, California over the summer as well as Morgan Hill, California. San Jose and those areas. Modesto, where all the agriculture is. And so I remember the strawberry, the pepino, the chabacán, the ciruela, the pecan, the walnut, the, you name it. And I have fond memories because I ate those things and they were tasty and they were good. They were natural and they were good to the body. I mean, I even remember playing with strawberries and throwing ripe strawberries at my sisters. But I remember how physically hard it was, waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning and not coming home till about de la cebolla y todo eso. About, I remember the pilas de petróleo, the heating units to heat you in the wintertime when it was cold, about 10, 11 o'clock at night. So it was hardship, but to this day I can remember a burrito and a good chili. And I can remember watching my parents drink hot coffee, hot cocoa, or my mom used to just open up a can for us to drink pet milk. Things like that, that you remember not having sandwiches, you know. Even to this day, I remember going to elementary school and we didn't have sandwiches. We had burritos, and I remember wanting to take sandwiches because the gringuitos had sandwiches, and I wanted a sandwich. But the gringuitos wanted our burritos. So anyway, to this day, mainly around family unity and family, I mean, always being around family, my sisters and brothers, mom and dad and everybody, because in the filas, we were all together working. But the braceros were always around the filas where we were working. They worked them the way they work them today still, that I still see when I pass the filas. I still see the braceros, and I still see the, I mean, they're not braceros anymore, but they are the people and hijos of braceros, and also the migrant, the new migrant, the migrant workers that are living here in the U.S. now, the agriculture pickers.
How did the braceros treat you when you were a little girl?
The braceros.
Did you have any interesting interactions with
them? I didn't have any interaction with the braceros, basically because my mom would keep us kind of disciplined, mm-hmm. that we were, and my father too, that we were not metiches, that we were not, that we were behaving. Mm-hmm. But most of the braceros that we used to see and talk to, very similar to my uncles and aunts, where they talked about and laughed and talked about their families, mm-hmm. and joked and they missed their families, they missed their wife, they missed their children, and they used to talk about that. And I remember mainly listening to my father and my uncle talk with all of them and my aunts. I don't know specific conversations that they had, because they would tell us, váyanse a jugar, go play. But I do see, I did remember seeing their loneliness. I remember I remember a lot of them drinking, and they had problems in a sense where their loneliness and not seeing family. But at the same time, they talked about, like they talk today, you know, how their families were, how the hardships, how did they did without, and their experience about not seeing this world here in the U.S. and saying, wow, at least I have a little hut to live in, at least I have food, and talking about how they would send money to their children and families that they were starving or not doing well economically over in Mexico. And at the same time, my uncle, my aunt, I didn't know they had a business background until I spoke to a cousin I'm the historian now. After I spoke to the cousin, and she told me, did you know my dad had a movie theater in Mexico? He had a store, he had this. And I said, really? No, I had no idea. And at the same time, my older siblings were also involved in working, but they would go outside of the state by themselves to go work in other places. So they also work very hard. And I remember working in the cotton fields over here in Arizona too. Even though I was little, my siblings were a lot taller and older than me. They were picking the cotton, but I was also picking the cotton at the bottom of the branch. That was back when the cotton branch was tall. Now when they, you know, now it's a little cotton, little tiny plant. But I remember my sisters dragging me on top of the cotton bolsas. They were long pouches. And I remember also my father playing on top of potato sacks where my father was pulling them and we'd be behind the potato sack. But as soon as we were able to, we were also picking. And I remember being nothing but a little stick and using all my body strength to pull a potato sack full of potatoes and leaning backwards hard enough for my father to grab the sack and put it in line. Put it in line so that the machine could pick it up. But we spoke. He spoke to a lot of families. To this day, a lot of the braceros became families within each other because they married within families that they met. And I know one young lady here who her family background eran las Ojedas, and they had a trucking business. And so I'm sure that they were involved in some of the, helping some of the braceros basically as a truckers, as truckers. And I remember that name, Ojedas, because it used to say Ojeda Trucking. That was in the West Valley over here. But we did everything with within, you know, working in and around where braceros were working, and there was zanahorias over here in the West Valley. There were zanahorias, there was el tapeo de cebolla, it was la papa, brocal, coliflor. That's about us, most of the winter crop. And so my mother, that's another thing, my mother always, she was an kind of like your humanitarian. Mm-hmm. To this day, she is still a humanitarian. I think someone did a paper on her in Tucson, in the Tucson newspaper, where she continues to help people who are immigrants because she knows they're coming in for a reason and a purpose, and that's to make a better life. And she's 93 years old, and she still helps immigrants. She's doing it just being a humanitarian. She remembers what it was like, how physically tough it was. One thing I don't remember is I don't remember them receiving any kind of medical assistance of any kind, because I know that if they were injured or whatever, I remember within themselves, seeing other women, other families, curanderas, sobando, dándoles medicinas, mm-hmm. especially herbs and so on, to help the braceros. But I don't think they had any kind of medical, you know, if they got injured on the job or anything like that.
As a child, could you tell the difference between the braceros that had contracts and came in with IDs and the undocumented men and just undocumented families? Or when you were a child, was it all the same to you?
They were all undocumented. The majority that I remember were all undocumented. None of them have papeles or documentation. The only thing I remember is our family having documentation, because my mom had papeles for, you know.
You don't remember any of them having a bracero IDs or anything?
Bracero IDs. They have bracero IDs, yes. They did have bracero IDs. I don't remember what they looked like, but I do remember them having some type of bracero ID.
So then a small percentage were documented.
Mm-hmm. They had the bracero ID. Whether that meant documentation, I didn't know at that time. Mm-hmm. I just remember seeing a bracero ID. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember, you know, what that indicated back then.
Mm-hmm. You were too little.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And did you think that the braceros, the ones that, you know, had their ID, the ones that came in through the official program, did you think that they were treated better or worse than...
Oh, no, they were all treated the same. I saw them all being treated the same. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any preference or anything.
Where did they sleep for the most part?
Like I said, in the area of Glendale that I remember being around the campos, they were in campos. They were little houses, very much like a project area, but they were stationed in the files. They were like Tanita Farms. I don't know how far they went, but I remember that the areas where I went, which was 51st, Peoria, and Northern. Let's see, it was 51st and 43rd, Peoria, and then Northern and Peoria. And I remember there was a campo on Peoria, and then there was a campo on 43rd. And I remember the huts they were not up to par. The huts were, some huts that I remember over here on 43rd were the adobe. The huts over here on was it Peoria? Northern Peoria. They were houses, the madera, the wooden houses. The ones on 43rd, they were made out of adobe, I think, and they didn't have, I think they had running water. They had odd houses. And they were sleeping in catres, meaning small little cots. They didn't have big beds. Some of the houses had, as a matter of fact, I remember one family that I remember that lived on Peoria, and their last name was Prieto. And that man and his family, I can't remember their role, but I know they were involved in working for the rancher. He oversaw the tractores, the tractors and so on, and the equipment. And I remember they had a nice home with beds and rooms and so on. And sometimes I think they were also feeding the braceros through their home. But the houses in that area, they were small, one bedroom, really, with just a kitchen and a bedroom and a sofa kind of arrangements. But even then, it wasn't the best of looking homes, but the people who lived in them, the braceros who lived in them, did the best they could to fix the homes and make them livable.
And any of the places that you lived, because you actually traveled a lot,
Yes.
you ever happen to see braceros in barracks?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we stayed in a campo that was like a barrack, very similar to a barrack. But we weren't in the barrack. We were in one of the homes, you know, and it wasn't a great home. It wasn't that great of a home. It was dirty. It was my mom plain. It was not I would have said condemned condition, you know. But the braceros, yes, they lived in barracks. And I remember even showering in the showers that they used to shower, because we had fun. We would go into the showers, and there were shower spouts all along the round. There was no curtains, no nothing. There's just showers all along the wall. Mm-hmm. We would turn all of them, and then as kids, we would run under all the showers.
Wow.
You know, we would play and run under the showers.
You would wait till they all showered and then go in there?
Well, that was, I think that was late evening when they already were probably in the barracks and so on. But yes, I do remember them being in something in barracks and so on.
Do you remember where that was, where you were running around?
Yes, that was in Oregon.
In Oregon?
In Oregon.
Where in Oregon? Oh.
I don't remember exactly where in Oregon. I used to tell Mom as I was growing up that I had these weird dreams, and they scared me sometimes. And when I would describe the dream, she goes, "How can you remember that? You were only 3. And I said, "Where were we?" And she says, "In Oregon," but she wouldn't give me the specifics. And then I told her I remember being in kinder or something like that. And my sister says, "Shut up, you liar. You didn't even go to school. You were too little." And my mom turned around and says, "No, she was in school." And I go, "I was?" That's why I remember a teacher and a kid, and I remember the grass, and it was in Oregon. It was cold. And that was in Oregon. I think that was in Oregon. Oh, you know what? Yeah, that was in Oregon, I think. Because I know we were also in Nipomo. And I remember, what was happening in Nipomo? Oh, there was a lot of things happening. I mean, you know, everywhere we went, we were with families and braceros. We saw the braceros, we were the families, but there was braceros. We were all working for the rancher or for whatever, whoever owned that land and whatever we were working and helping.
Do you ever remember braceros getting into accidents or illnesses, like serious illnesses? You mentioned that, you know, they would go in and find curanderos and sobaderos.
Mainly physical injuries, you know, from possibly either falling or picking up something or whatever, or getting their hand caught in the machinery or whatever. I mean, if their hands were caught in the machinery and something happened to them, you could see they were bandaged up. Who bandaged up, I don't know. But at the same time, those that were suffering from back and so on, I remember it was my people, like my tia, like my mom, giving them, you know, frotándolos con cosas en la espalda and, you know, and things like that.
Were there ever any immigration raids in camps that you were in?
Not that I can remember in my time in the 60s, but I remember that my sister told me of my brother when he was working, and they remember the immigration raids, yes. And my mom did tell me about the immigration raids prior to I was born when in Texas, yes. And she said she even remembers running from the immigration with her siblings, with her kids. And she remembers the bullets flying. She said she would hear them, pshew, pshew, flying by her with her kids in her hands running away from immigration. And she said back then they had pistolas. And then she said to protect her kids from immigration, she would dig a hole in the bushes, and she would kind of like, you know, dig holes in the bushes. And in the holes, she would kind of cover them, kind of hold the dirt with the pallets or wood or whatever, and then put her children in there overnight.
Do you remember any difference between the environment you were in before and after 64? The Bracero program ended in 1964.
Right, around that time.
You were about 9 years old.
Yes.
So from before 9, and then after 10, do you remember any kind of difference in the field?
Well, first of all, there was no longer the braceros, right? I didn't see that line of group of men that were working as the braceros. Why? Because either they were sent back, okay, but yet there were so many migrating with their families that a lot of them established homes and grew up and continued working for the ranchos.
So you saw for the families.
Yeah, I started to see a lot more families, and then I started to see more Native American with us. That's how I got to see the Native American culture. I saw Native American and a few black, and all working and growing where they started, you know, where they were working in the braceros. And I remember mom always, mom and my tias talking to the braceros that were there before, and now they had their, I guess with the money they were able to earn, they brought their families with them. And they established, and my mom was, like I told you, she was kind of like your humanitarian. She helped a lot of the braceros with their families and to get immigrated, and to, first thing she would try to get them to do is start learning English, and she would start getting them to find jobs And my father didn't like that because she was so involved in helping a lot of the braceros and their families and so on. And they established homes and they became part of the community. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they were sent back, but a lot of them, because of the, as a matter of fact, because of the rancher or whoever, they came back and they were able to regain their positions and work and bring their families. And the families worked. So I saw more families, and that's how we ended up having to work so much, or work as kids too, because we were, you know, I remember my tía and my tío no longer did the feeding of the braceros. Instead, they also became part of the working people, because they had the families too.
Their families would cook for them.
Well, you know, las señoras y todo, you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, ya traban sus familias, so the families all worked in the files, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what came about from the Bracero program. You know, you bring people, you bring them, and they got to know the community, and they saved money, and they brought the families and established here. And Tanita Farms all knew them. They knew them by their names. I remember the Tanita's Farms calling them by their names. And they knew them, gave them jobs, and they worked from that point on. And that's how we ended up working for every season. And we used to go back to California and work in Morgan Hill for a rancho over there. And it always happened that way. My stories in grade school were very creative because I would never write a story saying I worked in the migrant fields all summer long. I'd create stories so that teachers wouldn't know that I was working all summer long. But my mom and dad continued working into the files in the agriculture all the way till when I started high school, which was freshman year, which is about 69, 70.
That's when you stopped working with kids?
That's when I was not working in the fields no more, about 68, 69, mm-hmm. around there.
And then after you finished high school, did you marry? Did you go?
Yeah. Just like the rest of the family members that grew up, we started working and everything like that, so it was no longer working in the fields. Mm-hmm. But my father, to this day, I remember, he's already in his 80s, but he still works in the agriculture. He worked in the rose fields over here, and he worked in the zanahoria and things like that, but he's getting older, so he can't do that physical work anymore. Mm-hmm. But he continued.
We're getting close to the end of our interview. Do you remember anything else about your interactions with braceros or what you saw that it was unusual?
Not necessarily unusual, but they were very similar to my family. They had the same background as my family. They had families. They brought the music. I mean, the music I like to this day.
What kind of music did you play?
You heard a lot of the rancheras. Mm-hmm. You heard a lot the bailes and so on. My mom knew all that. My tías knew all that. Although we grew up Christian, and my mom wouldn't involve alcohol or vicios or anything. But there was vicio in the family. But at the same time, you saw a lot about the music. The music itself, to this day, even when I hear it, it brings back memories of the agriculture and the braceros and my family and my dad and so on, everybody working in the agriculture. So it brought back the music itself is our ballads of the story and the life of the Macero and the families.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the Bracero program changed the life of your family in any way?
It changed the life of a lot of families. Mm-hmm. It did. It definitely had an impact for many families.
Positive or negative?
Some could be positive, some could be negative. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of broken up families because sometimes some braceros left families behind to start new lives here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Some families reunited to hear that the husband had remarried and had other children. Mm-hmm. And you hear stories of men that had families in Mexico and had families here. Mm-hmm. We also heard stories about braceros who died, you know, because they were physically injured sometimes and they were invalid, or, you know, in other words, they weren't able to recoup from that. Y morían de tristeza because they couldn't go on. But at the same time, you saw a lot of opportunities for growth as far as families and migration of, I mean, that started the boom of migration for, I mean, even before then, the migration happened because the labor was necessary in the U.S. and they lived, my mother says, we were poor back when we were at home. She says, when we were growing up, she says, están más pobres now than we were then. So you're going to see, you're seeing more of the migration, and people know of the economy because they're working out here in the filas. They know that they can find jobs. Jobs, again, true, that people don't want.
Thank you very much.